Genesis chapter 23, starting from verse 1.
And Sarah was 107 and 20 years old. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kirjatharba, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan. And Abraham came to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her.
Now here we see, Sarah was 90 years old. That's the time she gave birth to Isaac. Now the word of God saying she is 127 years old. And Abraham has to be 137 years old. They're old people. And I don't know why Sarah died before Abraham. Most of the time, husband dies first and the lady dies later. Sarah, she always loved her husband. Her life was in danger many a time. She never accused her husband. She never fought with him. She always submit herself to Abraham. That's the reason the Peter says the Sarah who was telling her husband is her Lord, means her master. And she trusted in her husband, believed in him, and whatever he said, she said yes. And I thought this Isaac was the beloved son of Sarah. Sarah is 127 years old. And so now he is the mommy's boy. He's not married. He's always with mother. He's listening to mother and father. We just learned last week he even was ready to give his life for God and wanted to be a sacrifice. And God delivered him. Sarah was a faithful servant of God. She believed in God. She trusted in the Lord and God blessed her. And now in her old age, she dies. And Abraham is thinking, where am I going to bury my wife? Abraham was not prepared where he is going to bury his wife or his family. But now the situation came, wife is dead. Now he's standing, and maybe many people came to know because the word of God says he was mourning and he was weeping for his wife. So many people found out, hey, Abraham's wife is dead. Beautiful lady, many people wanted her, but now so many people might have gathered to see last time Sarah. Abraham took advantage and he says, listen, I am stranger here. I don't have a land. But if you remember, God told him, Abraham, all the land you see is all yours. I'm going to give you this land, not only for you and for your children. So if Abraham would have said, this land is mine, and you people are living in my land, they would have said, he's crazy. But actually, the land was belonged to Abraham. But now, he is telling those people, you know what? I'm stranger. I don't have anything. I am asking you to give me a land. Let's read a little bit further. Genesis chapter 23, starting from verse 3.
And Abraham stood up from before his dead and spake unto the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the children of Heth answered Abraham, saying unto him, Hear us, my lord, thou art a mighty prince among us. In the choice of our sepulchres bury thy dead. None of us shall withhold from thee his sepulchre, but that thou mayest bury thy dead.
This man, who is the landowner, he says, My lord, can you imagine? Abraham is a stranger. And this a rich man who possesses the land, he is saying to Abraham, You are my lord. You are my king. All this land is yours. And if you want to bury your wife, we have burial grounds. take any of them, bury your wife, because you are our Lord. You are our King. Can you imagine how much respect those people had for Abraham? Abraham did not puffed up. He didn't say, yes, I'm your Lord, and I'm your prince. I made a mistake asking you the land. Didn't say that. He was humble enough to say, yes, you are giving me land. I have freedom to bury my wife anywhere in your burial ground. But that's not what I'm asking. Please read a little bit further. Verse 7.
And Abraham stood up and bowed himself to the people of the land, even to the children of Heth. And he communed with them, saying, if it be your mind that I should bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and entreat for me to Ephron the son of Zohar, that he may give me the cave of Machpelah, which he hath, which is in the end of his field. For as much money as it is worth, he shall give it me for a possession of a burying place amongst you. And Ephron dwelt among the children of Heth. And Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the audience of the children of Heth, even of all that went in at the gate of his city, saying, nay, my lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein I give it thee. In the presence of the sons of my people give I it thee. Bury thy dead.
The man is saying again, Abraham, I am talking to you in front of all my people in the city gate. I am promising you, my land is your land. And take it. And he said, Abraham specifically says, you know what? You have so many burial grounds, but I'm not asking those. I want the burial ground, which is in the cave, near the mountain. And so he said, give me that cave, and I will bury my dead. So he said, okay, I give it to you. Take it. Abraham would have said, okay, I take your word and I take it. But Abraham was a wise person. Sometime people will change their word. Right now, even that this land was given to Abraham, this land is belong to Israeli people, and you see how these Muslim people fighting and trying to say, give us the land, and they want land from the Israeli from free. One time, I went to the man and I said, sir, I need this land for having a revival meeting. If I have, I can have it for 10 days. He said, go ahead and have your services. I said, could you write it down and give it to me so in the middle of the services, you will change your word? He said, no. I give my word and I'll keep my word. So I did the advertisement all over the city, put it in the newspaper. I took some young people and wrote all the main highways, put the billboard and major highways, and I prepared everything. And the first day the service was done, and God did signs and wonders and miracles. Blind people got healed, lame people got healed. And the police, 4 or 5 police officers covering that area, each person comes and give the testimony. They will go and ask him, is it right? Are you telling the truth? They thought this is our people. They were not our people. They were all Hindus. And the same night, the owner of this land comes to me and say, could you stop these services? I said, what did I do? He said, there are people complaining that your loudspeaker voice is going up to 10 miles radius because I put out top of the building, I put 4 horns projecting voice to everywhere. And the hundreds of people start coming. So he said, could you please stop? I said, sir, you gave me the word. And you said, my word is like gold. And I take your word. He said, no, no, I'm going to give you the bigger and better land. I said, I advertise here for 10 days. The people are coming from different states, and you're telling me to go somewhere else? Why are you telling me this? He says, because we are concerned about your life. I say, sir, don't worry about my life. My life is in the hand of God. I am dead, but I'm living for Christ. I'm not worried somebody's killing me. So he said, okay, tonight you come to my house. And I talked to some of church members. I said, what should I do? They say, cancel it, because somebody is going to kill you. So I went to his house, and some other council member and city council and things like that. And they were sitting almost, I don't know, 12 or 15 people. And I'm the only one Christian. And I asked the question. I said, sir, can I ask you one question? Are you really concerned about me, or are you concerned about your religion? Because you do not want me to preach the Christianity. If that's the truth, tell me. If any one of you can tell me you are against Christian religion. That time was a religious freedom. I don't know what they're doing today. So they gave me freedom to preach. But this man is saying, oh, no, no, no. We are not against Christian religion. I asked every one of them. Every one of them, we are not against Christian religion. Then why are you telling me to stop? We are concerned about your life. I said, I'm going to give you in writing. If there is anything happen, and if I die, these people are not accountable. Leave them alone, because I am doing on my own risk. And those people said, okay, go ahead. And they gave me the place for 10 days. I was fasting for one time, and I said, Lord, every night after I go to my house, means to church, I will eat. But that day, I came home and I started praying. I said, Lord, what should I do? God spoke to me. He says, Daniel was put in the lion's den. What happened? I said, you shut the mouth of the lion. He says, I am the same God. He says, Shadrach, Meshach were thrown in the fiery furnace. What happened? I said, you quenched the fire. He said, the same God is here. So I said, Lord, I'm sorry asking you. I'm going to fast 10 days. I will not eat anything until 10 days, until the service is over. I did the service for 10 days. God did signs and wonders and miracles. The 11th day, 10th day evening, I told everybody, take your tent, take all the lights, take the loudspeaker and everything. 11th day, I'm not responsible. After all the service was finished, pouring rain like a hurricane. And all the tent was on the floor, and everything was broken and everything. And early in the morning, that man comes and knocks at my church door, and he says, Pastor Peter, we are so grateful to you. You are a man of God. And I wanted you to close the service, but you did it for 10 days, and not a single drop of rain or anything came. But after you finished, all this hurricane came. So the point I'm making, I learned a lesson. Never take any heathen's word. You have to put them in a writing. That's what Abraham is doing. They told him first, take any land, take any burial ground. He says, no, I want this burial ground where it is in the mountain and where there are caves. They say, okay, if you want that, take it. I'm telling you in front of all this audience and the people who are in the city gate, I'm promising you, take it. See what Abraham is doing. Verse 12.
And Abraham bowed down himself before the people of the land. And he spake unto Ephron in the audience of the people of the land, saying, but if thou wilt give it, I pray thee, hear me. I will give thee money for the field. Take it of me, and I will bury my dead there.
Now here Abraham bowed down these people twice, showing respect, being humble, and saying, please give me this land. He was not asking the land free. He says, I'll buy the land. Whatever it costs for this land, I will pay for it. He didn't know what they were going to ask. He just said it by faith. I'm going to purchase this land. Just give me the price. And see what they say. Verse 14.
And Ephron answered Abraham, saying unto him, My Lord, hearken unto me. The land is worth 400 shekels of silver. What is that betwixt me and thee? Bury therefore thy dead.
Now again, this is almost third time. He said, okay, you are asking to purchase the land. This land is only 400 shekels or 400 of silver coin. It's not too expensive. I'm a rich man. Go ahead and bury your dead. You don't have to pay me anything. This is the third time now these people are giving him free land. But still Abraham says, no, no, no. I'm not going to take a free land. And see what happens. Verse 16.
And Abraham hearkened unto Ephron, and Abraham weighed to Ephron the silver, which he had named in the audience of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, current money with the merchants. And the field of Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which was before Mamre, the field and the cave which was therein, and all the trees that were in the field, that were in all the borders round about, were made sure.
Now see, Abraham said, you said $400 or 400 shekels? I'm ready to give it to you. Even though he said he doesn't want, he gave the money and made sure in this cave and this mountain, there are trees, there are lands. Make sure nobody after I buying, I don't want anybody cutting the tree. After I buying, I don't want anybody doing mischiefs. As the land is, that's the way I want it. And they wrote it down, everything. I don't know if those days they were paperwork, but I believe they might have done some paperwork. And Abraham gave him 400 shekels or silver coins, and he possessed the land. See, sometimes people say something and they change the word, like I gave the example before. We bought that church on Rising Sun. I saved that man's hundreds of dollars because we did all the paperwork and we didn't want him to get the real estate and this and that, so we saved his money. While I'm going for settlement, you know what the man is saying? Oh, Pastor Peter, are you sure to buy this land, this building? I say, why not? Oh, I have another customer. He's giving $25,000 more than you. Would you change your mind? I said, sir, you want to go to jail? I paid you money in advance. We are going for settlement. And so we did the settlement. After the settlement, next day, he comes and tried to take the sign, which is belong to the building. Once you buy the building, sign and everything belong to you. He comes and with the ladder and start taking the sign. I said, what are you doing? Oh, that's my sign. I said, that was yours before you sold it. Now the building is mine, the sign is mine, and everything is belong to this building is mine. He said, you don't need this. This sign says bicycle. I said, sir, we can change it to bicycle to International Christian Fellowship. But he took it anyhow. If I would have called the police, or if I would have file a case, he would have been given a lot of money. But I told him, you know what? What you're doing is not right. And so he took it and he put it on across the street. He had the building, double than ours. But his business got ruined. His wife got a cancer and he got some problem. And that place is completely sold out. And he had another business in Germantown that went down and completely he lost everything. Some people try to take advantage of Christian people. So we have to be wise enough like Abraham. Abraham said, I want everything in writing, all the trees and all the caves and all the land. is mine right now because I am paying this money in front of all these people. And he got the land and he made sure that it belonged to him now. Let's read the verse 18.
Unto Abraham for a possession in the presence of the children of Heth before all that went in at the gate of his city.
Now see, he says not only in front of these people who gave the land, but he was standing at the gate. So each person comes in the city, that means they went out for shopping or doing their chores. They're coming to the city, means each and every person witnessed that Abraham bought this land from these people. Abraham got the land, everybody knew it, nobody was against, and that's the way Abraham got his land. Verse 19.
And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field of Machpelah before Mamre, the same as Hebron in the land of Canaan.
See, the name was Machpelah near the Mamre, but now the name is changed to Hebron. Abraham was called Hebrew. And so now this land is belonged to Abraham. Now this land became a Hebron. So God changed it for the Abraham. And now the Hebron is there today. And many people might be thinking this is our land, but that land is belong to Jewish people. In verse 20.
And the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place by the sons of Heth.
Now this land is, he says, belong to Abraham, and not only now Sarah is buried, but all his children or himself will be buried. So he made sure that this land is belong to Abraham. Even the Abraham got this land with the money, and he had the burial place, but the same time he was in this land. But here, let's go back to the Genesis chapter 23, verse 4.
I am a stranger and a sojourner with you. Give me a possession of a burying place with you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight.
See, he is saying, I'm a stranger. I am traveler. I have no land. Give me some land. And we read in the book of Hebrews, let's go back again, Hebrews chapter 11, starting from verse 8 to 16.
By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God.
See here, the word of God is saying, when God told him, give up his father's land and follow me, he followed by faith, not knowing where he was going. Even though he is asking these people, give me land, give me burial place, this will be mine. But at the same time, he says he was looking for the city. He was looking for the city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That means he was not looking for the city built by man. He was looking ahead. I am a traveler. One day I'm going to finish my journey, but I'm looking for the city which God has built. And that's the kind of faith we should have. We are living in this world. We are fighting for the land. We are fighting for the houses. We are fighting for an inheritance because we want everything for me, me, me. We came empty-handed. We are going to go with the empty-handed. In this world, everything what you see is going to vanish away. We have nothing to say, this is mine. There was a rich man going with hundreds of dollars in his hand and holding tight because some thief will come, and he got a heart attack and fell down and holding the money tight, but he was dead. Whose money was that? when we're living on this earth, like a little children, this is mine, this is my toy, this is mine, this is mine. We are the children of God. We did not bring anything in this world. We cannot take anything out of this world. There are worldly people that are building the mansions. If you go to California, some of the mansions are 10 million, 15 million. Some people might have $100 million. Their cars, the other day they were showing the car Ferrari. And the newsman says, oh, I'm dreaming. How much is a six figure of that car? Maybe, I don't know, 500,000 or whatever the price was. He says, I like to have that car. The point I'm making, there are cars, $500,000, $200,000 cars. And there is a one man, he has not one Ferrari. He might have dozens of Ferraris. So the point I'm making, the people are rich. They are thinking they were never going to die. They want everything. And so they have no peace, no joy, and they are empty inside. But what we need Jesus. Once you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and then you believe in your heart, everything what I have is belong to God. And what everything belong to God is belong to me. And I tell people, other day one person wrote me a letter from Africa. And he was saying, I want to join with you. I want to, you know, work with you. And we need a help. I wrote him a letter. I said, sir, let me tell you. I am living by faith. I have no salary. I'm not looking for salary. But I'm telling you, I do not like to give anybody fish every day. I want people to learn how to fish and don't depend on America or anybody. I said, I trust in God and I believe in God. My source is God. And so I said, when your people, they are born again, children of God, teach them to give tithe. And they're supposed to help your church. And your church should flourish. And I wrote so many more things. What I'm trying to say, when you are born again, child of God, you are thinking about heaven. That is my land. That is my place. I'm going to go to heaven. In this world, all the bank balance and all the money, that money is going to stay here. That's why Jesus Christ said, wherever your money is, there your heart will be. So our heart should be belong to God. Whatever I make, I want to give it to the Lord. And God is faithful. So we are living in this world. We are passing through. We should know that we are going to go to heaven. This is not our permanent land. Let's keep on reading up to 16.
Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth.
See, this says, this all people have the same faith, and they were thinking we are just traveling. And the word of God says they were strangers, pilgrims, and they did not receive anything on this earth. They were living on this earth, but they were eyes towards heaven. Okay, please read.
For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city.
See, he is saying even the people came from Egypt to go to promised land. They had lots of problem in the middle. He said if they really, really were frustrated, they had chance to go back, even the Abraham. But they did not go back because they were looking for the city. They were looking that God is going to bless them. And the word of God says, even though they were looking for the city, they were traveling in this world and they did not receive any promise. Let's go back to the same chapter and start reading from verse 38 to 40. Hebrews.
Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise.
Can you imagine? You have to read the whole chapter. He says they traveled and they were living in tent and caves and they suffer a lot, but still they did not receive the promise. Then somebody would say, why in the world they were traveling and God promised them everything and they did not receive the promise? Why is that? Because God was preparing you and me. Without you and me, they cannot be perfected. Read the verse 40.
God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect.
God has provided something better for us. So the they means what? All the Old Testament people, they cannot be perfected without us. Somebody said, how come? Now, I don't have time to explain because time is running, but I'll give you a little bit hint. Abraham was called the friend of God. John the Baptist was called the friend of God. And the Jesus Christ said about the John the Baptist, he is the greatest among all the people who are born by woman. That means John the Baptist is greater than Moses. He's greater than David. He's greater than anybody. And so if the John the Baptist is greater than anybody, and he's calling himself friend, that means from the John the Baptist up to the Enoch, or even the Seth, they were all called friend of God. But we are what? The bride of Christ. So the bride gets everything what belonged to the husband or bridegroom. So the Jesus Christ coming as a bridegroom. We are the bride. We have a better place in heaven also. And so we are the bride of Christ, and these people are the friend of Christ. So they cannot be perfected without us. Go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and start reading from verse 12 to 24.
Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you.
Okay, taking too much time. Start reading from verse 22.
But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels.
Now here he is talking to the church. Ye are come unto the Mount Zion, and unto the city of living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and the innumerable company of angels. There the church is going to go. And so we have a better place in heaven. And so just like if the Abraham and all the Old Testament people, they were saying they were strangers, they were pilgrim, they did not receive the promise, but we received the promise. Why? We keep on reading.
To the general assembly and church of the firstborn which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect.
See, we are the church of God. And the word of God says, because of us, all other people, Old Testament people, will be perfected. Reason why? Read the verse 24.
And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than that of Abel.
We are so special in the eyes of God because we are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. The Abel's blood was asking revenge. So the old Old Testament people, They were washed by the blood of bulls and goats. We are washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better than the Abel. Abel says revenge. Blood of Jesus Christ says forgive. So we are in the New Testament washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the bride of Christ. So we have greater promises. So what we should be doing, if they were strangers and pilgrims, we should be doing more. We should be following Christ. If you read the Hebrews chapter 13, the word of God says Jesus Christ was crucified outside the camp. So he says, if we are the followers of Christ, we should be following Christ and we should be suffering for him. Let's read the words, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. You should read the whole chapter.
For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come.
Here we have no continuing city, but we are looking forward that city to come. That means believers should be always ready. Jesus Christ can come anytime. There are people are teaching Jesus Christ will not come and church has to go through tribulation. We already studied the book of Revelation. And we know that church will not go through tribulation. Church will be raptured before the Antichrist rules. And if somebody wants to go through Antichrist, that's up to them. But we do not want to be here because we are looking for the city. We are looking to go up. We are not looking to go down. Jesus Christ is coming. So what is our job? To prepare ourselves as well as prepare others. There are people dying without God and without Christ. We are not here to build the houses for us. I am here to build churches. I'm here to prepare the missionaries. I'm here to prepare the servant of God. I'm not building the bigger and better house for me. I am living for God. I am living for Jesus Christ. I'm waiting every day. I'm ready to go. But at the same time, I'm not saying, oh, I'm too old. I cannot do anything. What St. Paul says? We can do all things through Christ. And we are trying to do many things. We cannot do anything without Christ. But we can do all things through Christ. But let's put our mind and heart in Christ because he's our bridegroom. He's coming soon. Without us, those people cannot be perfected. So we are the one encouraging people to come to Jesus Christ and be perfect. Shall we rise? The word of God says, be ye perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Without Jesus Christ, there is no perfection. He sanctified us with his precious blood, and we are belong to him. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. Thank you, Lord, for giving us grace. You call Abraham, and the people call him the Father of faith. And Lord Jesus, I believe I am not focusing on Abraham, but I'm focusing on Jesus Christ. Book of Hebrews chapter 12 verse 2, your word says, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. So Lord Jesus, you are coming very soon. Prepare us and give us grace to prepare others for your soon coming. We commit ourselves into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. Please be seated.